trial case this morning, number 21-1811, Jordan versus McDonough. Okay, Mr. Carpenter.
Excuse me, may it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. James Jordan. Before I begin my argument, Your Honor, I would like to make the court aware of the fact that Mr. Jordan is aware of a recently decided decision on Thursday of last week, which we intend to submit as supplemental authority. Fortunately, because of the timing, we weren't able to get that submitted before this argument started.
What does it relate to?
It relates to the question of prejudice, Your Honor. It is a case called Slaughter, S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R. The case number is 2021-1367. May it please the court, then, on behalf of Mr. Jordan, we believe that the Veterans Court erred when it applied the wrong legal standard in taking due account under the rule of prejudicial error. Mr. Jordan asked in his appeal that this court review the legal standard used by the Veterans Court in applying that rule of prejudicial error.
How could there be prejudicial error if the statute that you say they should have discussed doesn't help you?
Well, Your Honor, that goes to the second point that we raise, which we believe that that conclusion was based upon a misinterpretation of the regulation that it did not apply. The finding...
Okay, but if the statute doesn't apply, then there's no error to begin with, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. But then the question becomes whether or not the regulation applies, and I'll focus on that argument if the court... agrees that if the regulation does apply and the failure of the of the board to reply to that specific argument presented to them had to be prejudicial.
But if you're wrong about both the statute and the regulation, then there's no error.
That would be correct. If I'm wrong about both, that would be correct. But the dilemma here is that this court's case law up to this point has been at least muddied by the question of whether or not this court can review the application of the rule of prejudicial error and whether or not that does or doesn't constitute an application of law to fact. That, in our view, is the first hurdle that we have to get over, and that the question of whether or not the regulation applies is a separate question of law, which is reviewable by this court.
And why can't we address that question first?
I'm happy to address that question.
Why? You're not suggesting that we are obliged to address the standard of prejudicial error before deciding whether the regulation actually applies or whether your interpretation of the regulation
is. As I had understood this court's case law up until the Slaughter case, I had understood this case law to at least raise the question of whether or not this court could even consider a question of statutory or regulatory interpretation if there had been a factual determination that the rule of prejudicial error applied.
I see. Okay.
So if the panel wishes, then I will proceed directly to the question of the of the error made in its reliance by the Veterans Court that the provision of Section 3.156B did not apply.
Okay, so didn't we decide that against you in the Manzanares case, which you yourself argued?
No, Your Honor, I do not believe that you did. In the Manzanares case, there was a different question presented.
Regulation, right?
It is the same regulation, Your Honor. But in that case, as opposed to the facts of this case, which is why it was necessary for the board to have addressed this question in the first instance, was whether or not this was or wasn't part of the same claim. In this case, we are dealing with a claim that involved the veteran's knees. And the VA, during the course of this protracted litigation, eventually agreed that both knees were entitled to service-connected compensation. The question then becomes whether or not the claim is merely a claim for compensation as opposed to the subset of a claim as to one knee or the other. The claim was continuously prosecuted on the basis of the entitlement to the maximum benefit available under law for his first service-connected knee disability, which included the right to a total rating based upon unemployability. During the course of that protracted litigation, the issue of the second knee was raised and ultimately favorably litigated. So the question under 3.156B is whether or not, under the plain language of 3.156B, as has been interpreted by this court in both Bond and Barad, this was, for the second knee, new and material evidence which related back to the original claim for service-connected compensation for a resulting disability. The specifics of whether it is left knee or right knee do not prevent the application of 3.156B, which was the interpretation relied upon by the Veterans Court. The Veterans Court relied upon an interpretation of 3.156B that would be nuanced as to what part of the claim was or wasn't being pursued. The fact is that when the evidence came of record that there was a relationship between the service-connected knee and his non-service-connected knee, that implicated the provisions of 3.156B as a matter of law, because it was, in fact, new and material evidence presented during the course of his continuing appeal to determine whether or not that new and material evidence related back to the original claim. If this court defines, as it should, the original claim to mean the claim for compensation, then in fact, this court would necessarily have to find that the interpretation relied upon the Veterans Court of 3.156B was erroneous. It was, in fact, erroneous because it deprived Mr. Jordan of the right to have the application of an applicable regulation in a case in which, on appeal to the board, he presented that specific evidence, and the reviewing court found that even though it had been submitted and they had failed to address it, that the issue could be evaded from judicial review by simply concluding that the regulation did not provide that. That, therefore, relies upon a misinterpretation of 3.156B and how it was intended to operate. It is critical to this case that this court understand, as I believe it clearly has in its precedent in Bond and Barad, the nature of the self-imposed obligation that the Secretary placed upon himself. The Secretary imposed upon himself the obligation to review evidence that was received during the course of appeal period and make a specific assessment. That is the requirement of 3.156B. And when the Veterans Court found that it did not apply, that was clearly a misinterpretation because it assumed, if you will, facts that are not yet in evidence. And that is the factual determination that is required by 3.156B to determine whether or not there was a relationship between the new and material evidence of the second knee's involvement that related back to the original claim, which then brings us full circle to what a claim constitutes. Is a claim...
Do you agree that secondary claims are not derivative of primary claims for effective date purposes?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that.
Sure. Do you agree that secondary claims are not derivative of primary claims for effective date purposes?
Yes, Your Honor. That is the case law that was established by this court in both Ellington and Manzanares, Where this case differs is that that was based upon this court's interpretation of the interplay between 3.310 and 3.156B for the purposes of establishing effective date. 3.156B is not an effective date regulation. It is a regulation that imposes an ongoing responsibility to the secretary under the legacy system to review, when received, new and material evidence to determine whether it relates back to the original claim. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time. If there's no further questions from the board, I'd like to reserve the balance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Ms. Tantum?
May it please the court. The Veterans Court applied the correct standard when taking due account of the rule of prejudicial error. The Veterans Court did not interpret 38 CFR section 3.156, but instead simply applied this court's precedent, Manzanares, and the regulations and statute. Even if section 3.156 was interpreted by the Veterans Court, that court did so correctly. Mr. Jordan sought to obtain more than one extra year of benefits for his right knee claim by contending, in essence, that it's the same claim as his left knee claim. He asserted that the May 2016 medical examination was new and material evidence under section 3.156 related to his claim for the left knee condition, and that somehow this caused the right knee claim to have the same effective date as the left knee claim, the primary claim. And the board found that the primary and secondary claims could not be assigned the same effective date in this fashion. The board did not specifically cite section 3.156, but nonetheless it reviewed Mr. Jordan's briefing, which focused on section 3.156 at appendix pages 203 to 208. The board found there was no basis in the relevant law for Mr. Jordan's claimed effective dates, and therefore, in effect, the board found that the purported new and material evidence was not relevant to the right knee claim's effective date. The court has acknowledged in Morse v. McDonough from 2021 that the board can, in effect, consider an issue, as it did here. The Veterans Court noted and agreed with Mr. Jordan that the board had failed to address that argument, but correctly concluded that 3.156 has no relationship to the determination of effective dates for a secondary claim. Thus, board's failure to specifically cite 3.156 in its decision was harmless error. Mr. Jordan's counsel has claimed that the Veterans Court considered facts, not in evidence, but this is not correct. It was simply a question of the legal issues and the application of regulations. The Veterans Court applied the correct standard set forth in Sanders to take due account of the rule of prejudicial error. It simply applies the rule of harmless error from civil cases in which a claimant must explain to the Veterans Court how the error to which he points could have made any difference. The burden is properly on the veteran, given, as explained in Sanders, this is not a criminal case. And this is a standard harmless error situation seen in any civil case. The lower court did not explicitly address an argument, the board here, and remand would be futile and inefficient. This would really result in unnecessarily protracted Veterans Court proceedings and proceedings before the board. Mr. Carpenter has mentioned the recent Slaughter decision. It's distinguishable from this case and did not change the burden set in standards. We understand the court Slaughter to have applied the explanation in the Supreme Court Sanders decision that in certain cases, the circumstances of the case would make the harm obvious. In that case, if the board had applied a different diagnostic code, the veteran would have had a 50% rating rather than a 40% rating. Here, the lack of prejudice is not based on the possible outcomes in terms of the benefit to the veteran, but instead based on the fact that the board's consideration of a legal argument purportedly ignored would have made no difference.
I've got to say, I don't understand this whole harmless error discussion. It seems to me it's a convoluted way to approach this case. The question is what this regulation 156 means, and I don't see if the regulation is inapplicable how it's error in the first place not to discuss it.
Well, Your Honor, that is true. We agree that the Veterans Court did what Mr. Jordan claims it didn't do, which is address the error and address the purported error by looking into the question of what 3.156 means and whether it could have had any effect. Therefore, unlike in Slaughter, the Veterans Court reached the substantive issue. That certainly means that Mr. Jordan cannot prevail on the simple challenge now to the question of the standard applied to the harmless error consideration, since Mr. Jordan acknowledges that secondary claims do not have the same effective date as primary claims. It is certainly there was no misinterpretation of Section 3.156 by the Veterans Court. The Veterans Court relied on this court's holding in Montanaris and other decisions. It didn't interpret Section 3.156, so we've argued that the court lacks jurisdiction to consider any purported misinterpretation by the Veterans Court, since there was no interpretation. The Veterans Court noted that Mr. Jordan
if the regulation applied and they didn't discuss it, that would be an error, right? I mean, you can't say because they failed to discuss it that somehow we can't review the error.
Your Honor, the board, in essence, considered 3.156 because it looked at the underlying issue.
Do you understand the point? I mean, you seem to be arguing that because the board didn't discuss the regulation, that we have no jurisdiction. That can't be true. I mean, if the regulation applies and they made a mistake by not discussing it, we can review that, right?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Maybe I misspoke. I meant that the Veterans Court did not interpret Section 3.156 when it did its consideration of the board's conclusions about effective date. It simply explained that the precedent.
But if they made a mistake, we can review it, right?
If the board made a mistake in
ignoring a regulation that governs, here, they made a mistake. We can review it.
We are looking at the Veterans Court and the Veterans Court's application of 3.156. The court can review the Veterans Court's interpretation if it made one of 3.156. We argue that the Veterans Court didn't make any interpretation of 3.156. It simply applied the law to the facts. The facts were the dates of the correspondence, April 11, 2006, and also the February 2005 primary claim for an increased rating as to the left knee. Note that Mr. Jordan argued that the Sanders decision by the Supreme Court is distinguishable. It is not. Its reasoning was not limited to the issues of notice, this case presents an easier case than Sanders. Simply, the only question is a legal argument about whether 3.156 has any application to the issues in this case, which it does not. And Mr. Jordan made some arguments about natural effects. But here there was no conclusion by the Veterans Court related to natural effects. In Sanders, the Supreme Court stated that the Veterans Court would have to be the court to make such a finding since it sees sufficient case-specific raw material in veterans' cases, not this court. And as for solicitude to veterans, this appears to be part of the same generalization that the Veterans Court would need to make in the first instance. And certainly the Supreme Court has rejected hard and fast rules instead of applying a case-by-case analysis to questions of harmless error, removing the burden from veterans, as Mr. Jordan argues, that would be such a hard and fast rule. And for these reasons, we request that the court affirm the decision of the board, but conclude that it lacks jurisdiction to consider the purported interpretation of 3.156. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter.
May it please the court, I'm a little confused by the government's argument because they seem to be undermining the notion of the fact that the Veterans Court made an interpretation by saying they made no interpretation. If they made no interpretation, then it doesn't seem to me that this court could find that they concluded that it didn't apply. As I read the decision does not do anything other than conclude at Appendix 6 at the end of the carryover paragraph that secondary claims are not derivative of primary claims for effective date purposes, a matter at which we do not dispute. That was why we presented the issue before the board in order to find out whether or not 3.156 applied in this context as opposed to in the secondary claim context in order to get a derivative effective date. The Veterans Court in its concluding paragraph says that the appellant has failed to demonstrate that 3.156C applies. Not that it found that 3.156C did not apply, but that Mr. Jordan did not demonstrate that in order to establish the failure to do so as being prejudice. It seems to me that this then becomes circular in terms of the Chenery Doctrine. If in fact the Veterans Court made that interpretation, that cannot be an interpretation that was made by the board, because the board never addressed the issue. And that was the finding made by the Veterans Court. So the Veterans Court can't substitute its judgment and make fact-finding that they did make a finding about the applicability of an issue that they never addressed. So hopefully this court will recognize that no matter how convoluted all of this is, that Jordan has established that the Veterans Court in fact made an error of law in the interpretation in which it relied upon, which relied solely upon the question of whether or not a secondary claim was derivative of a primary claim for effective date purposes. This court must recognize that 3.156C is not an effective date regulation. It is a regulation that stands for a specific VA obligation, which this court has defined in Barad and Bond, that requires an assessment of evidence received. They made no such assessment. We asked the board to address that issue. The board did not address the issue. We get to the Veterans Court and present the issue of whether or not that constitutes a misinterpretation of 3.156B and are told that we haven't demonstrated prejudice, even though the issue was never presented. Now we come before this court and are told, but you can't get prejudice if it didn't apply. I'm sorry, Your Honors, they didn't decide that. The Veterans Court did not make that determination. I hope the court will agree and will reverse the decision below and send it back for re-adjudication. Unless there's further questions, excuse me, Your Honor, from the panel.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Farmer.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank both counsel. Case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.